Get your L's up, Cards fans. You're about to enter the Crunch Zone. Here are Crumb's Revenge,
Mike Lindsay,
and U of L Sheriff 50,
Mark Blankenship.
You are now listening to the Crunch Zone Podcast, broadcasting live from Louisville.am Studios. Don't forget, folks, you can check out other Louisville City Interest podcasts, including 40-ish and Eat, Drink, Talk. Don't forget to check out other things around the city. But today, we are talking Cardinal Football Game Day Edition. Still kind of in shock at the events that had to transpire to get us here. Folks, what do you think about game day?
I think it's amazing. I think when you talk about that, the Yum Center's never had game day, but Papa John's Cardinal Stadium's going to have it. It's pretty incredible.
But I thought we were a basketball school.
We are a basketball school, but we also play football. That's and right. Baseball and softball and soccer and a lot of other stuff too. So
very good. I mean, what'd you think? By the way, sorry.
Yeah, no intro at all, Mike.
Keith is joining us today at Ville Sports Law.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, no, I'm real excited about it. I didn't know that it could be a real possibility. I mean, we still see ourselves sort of as the fledgling program and, kind of like a little engine that could. We've had some really good wins and we've had some big games that we've played in, but, game day is kind of sacred ground. And the sky's kind of the limit now when you see how far they've come, especially in this iteration of, Bobby 2.0.
Yep. Dave Lackford, you know what? He's joining us at Dave the Barber.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good to be here. Thanks for having me. I just want to say I called it. Check my tweets. I said, after Lamar's performance against Syracuse, there's no way they don't come here to see this phenomenon. And I was right.
Now, yeah. Dave wrote an article a couple weeks ago. You all probably read it, called Lamar Jackson is a Mutant. So he just kind of delivered on that.
In a good way.
And we're going to transition to talking about Syracuse. So let's go ahead and give game recap. Syracuse took care of business, gentlemen.
It was wild. I don't know why, but I was like, I'm going to hang out in this corner. And I watched them kick the ball down the field. I went to the Carrier Dome. It was so hot. Okay, first of all. And I was like, I'm going to hang out in this corner. I'm not going to go down because I was like, I'm going to shoot some photography first quarter and, see what I can get. And I'm going to hang down here. And all the touchdowns just kept coming to me. It was like, what's happening? Like, well, this never happens. Normally you have to shoot, 1,000 frames to get a couple touchdowns. And I had 3 touchdowns in 5 plays.
The touchdown tractor beam was on Mark's
camera.
It
was just coming to me. So I got to figure out a way to stand in the end zone on Saturday against Florida State. But, no, it was just a really crazy environment. The media spread at Syracuse, check this out. Caesar salad, fruit salad, mac and cheese, a roll, and a cookie.
You're like,
I was like, what?
Where's the beef?
What? Can I get some chicken or like a hot dog or like some pulled pork? It was terrible.
Someone forgot the main dish.
I don't know what was going on, but no, the game was great. I feel like defensively, Louisville played a lot of snaps, and I think that's one of the reasons why they wore down, and I think that's kind of the point of the hurry up for Dino Babers. But overall, Louisville did what they needed to do. I would have liked to see them protect the football a little bit better, execute, catch the ball a little bit more. But overall, they got out of there, and everybody's talking about them after that.
Yeah, it was crazy to see. And, obviously we've got a lot of awards coming out again for Lamar Jackson, the Walter Camp Player of the Week, 2 weeks in a row. You've got the ACC Offensive Player of the Week. They've got the biggest one-game performance in yards by Lamar with like 6'10 and 8'45, I think, was the team.
That's right.
For ACC. Yet, 150 yards projected drops. And I heard today David Hale, ESPN, tweet out that Louisville's actually the worst of the Power 5 with a 10.4% drop rate on passes.
Yeah. That was really, while it was amazing and hurtling defensive backs, if that's ever an Olympic sport, you can go ahead and hand the gold over. But it was a little bit frustrating because I counted just 17 points that were left on the field in 3 different plays. Obviously, you've got the missed field goal, which Bobby seemed to be a big fan of.
Right, he's always a big fan of anything going wrong with kickers.
He said, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's not all he said, but that was part of it. Yeah, so there was that, Radcliffe got hit wide open, and I don't know that he scores there, but when I looked on my screen, it didn't seem like there was anyone between him and the end zone. Yep. And then the other one was the reverse, you know, the jet sweep reverse to Bonifant, and it was going to be an open pass to either Lamar or to James Quick. He had two guys to pick from, like Kentucky was playing defensive back. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for touchdowns. So there's 17 points that were left on the field. I was a little disappointed with that. Watching Twitter, most of the Cardinal Nation was a little bit disappointed with that and some of the other things as well. But it's hard. I mean, you're really picking at nits when you've got 62 points. You win by, you know, that many points on the road. Yeah, I mean, and you're like, well, we should have had 80. I mean, that's a little bit. But my son, who's 13, looked at me and he goes, is this what you're talking about when you say Bobby Ball? And I said, yes, son, this is exactly what we're talking about when we say Bobby Ball.
Yeah, I watched the game at TBG's house, and when Radcliffe dropped that ball, Biscuit was there, and I remember him saying, there's nobody else on the screen, you know, and I was like, wow, all that open green. But, you know, it's one of the things that makes college football great is the actual mistakes, because you look at all this crazy stuff, like the Notre Dame-Texas game where the kid gets the extra point blocked, and then they run it back for a safety, and we get free football. So I enjoy the chaos.
Right. You know, when you get to the NFL, there's so few mistakes being made that you already almost know who's going to win this game. And then a lot of times they're so consistent that if you look at the point spreads, like the Vegas point spreads, they're almost always within like a 3-point range, like four or seven.
Well, but, you know, for me, just being in the Carrier Dome, I thought it was interesting because I've watched a lot of games up there, you know, basketball, football, whatever. I mean, you see them on television. But then if you go there and it's September, it was like 86 degrees in there. I mean, I'm at my computer, and I have sweat rolling down my body. I feel nasty, okay? I'm not playing a sport. I'm sitting in a chair. These guys are playing. They're padded up. They've been playing for a while. You get in the second quarter, then, you know, a lot of stuff was kind of going down. I mean, I'm cramping up in my chair, okay, because I'm losing fluids like crazy. So I don't know. I think, and then also the lighting is in there. It's a little different. And so, you know, Petrino talked about some of the visual cues that happened with the lighting in there, with the backdrop and the orange. He said it's just a little bit different. I think I'd like to think that some of that contributed to it. I think the Cole Hikutini catch for a fumble, I think that's unavoidable. I think the Devontae Pete fumble, I think that's an avoidable mistake. You know what I mean? Where, but the drops, maybe Brandon Radcliffe's drop, maybe Jamari Staples' drop, maybe you can attribute some of that to that and just being tired potentially. But because they did play a lot of snaps. I mean, it's hard to run down the field so fast repeatedly. Right. You know,
yeah, because we're looking for the deep ball more than we did last year. You know, that was one of the things that we were kind of frustrated. Bobby Ball is here, but we don't really go for it. It's just like everything seemed to be kind of 15, 6 yards, 7 yards. So some of these plays are longer now.
I think one of the reasons why you get to see the deep ball so much early on in the season is, well, first, the level of competition. But second, Lamar has become a dangerous distributor of the ball. He can use the whole 53-yard width of the field, which he wasn't doing. And when you see a young quarterback like this who doesn't really have a lot of game reps, being able to go through his third read and hit the back on the flare or hit the backside receiver on the 12-yard drag, you have to defend the whole field now. So you don't get to just drop everybody deep like you kind of saw Houston do last year in game two and kind of sit back there and play center field. So, kudos to Lamar for learning the playbook. And, you know, I thought it was a lot of hyperbole when he's like, oh, I know the playbook like the back of my hand. But, I mean, from the last 2 weeks, competition notwithstanding, you can tell that he's going through his progression, he's trusting his line, and he's making accurate throws.
You just got me excited by saying everything you just said there. Go ahead, Keith.
One of the questions that I have for Dave, because he is into the detail.
Yeah, he understands football. Yeah, that's why, by the way, that's one of the reasons why Dave is here, especially today, not just because he's part of our blog. He happens to know quite a bit about Florida State and quite a bit about football, so we figured this is a hell of a week. Now we just happen to have game day that just made it times 10. So go ahead, Keith.
No, absolutely. And so I'm curious about the drops, and we heard it today at the press conference, Mark, but they were asking about the velocity that Lamar was putting on the ball, because I'm the untrained eye, right? I mean, I like basketball. I know basketball 10 times better than I know football. But that being said, I'm watching all these passes, and they're hitting guys in the hand, but they're going like 1,000 miles an hour. And I'm wondering, you know, is that something that is technique? Now, Bobby didn't seem to take too much exception with it. But to my untrained eye, it seemed like he was zinging it a little bit hard. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it depends on the receiver. I remember Deion Branch came and he was talking on one of the radio shows here. I think it was 99. And he spoke about how quarterbacks throw catchable balls, you know. And for some guys, they want like a soft pass, you know, like Peyton Manning kind of throws like a catchable duck, you know. Some receivers some receivers will eat that up and it'll confuse other receivers. So I think it's just based on repetition, getting used to the way the ball comes out of the hand, a release point. The Radcliffe drop, I mean, that poor kid, you think about it, you're wide open. You know you're wide open, you know, and you're seeing that ball coming. And you got to be thinking, oh, man, don't drop it.
You're like Robin Williams from The Best of Times or something, you know.
Yeah, right, then doink right off your shoulder pads. So. Right.
It was a lot like that Radcliffe play. It was just like Charles Stanbury last year against North Carolina State. It was kind of a wheel route and wide open. Might have even been the same type of play, different side of the field. Yeah. But no, I mean, Charles was there, walked in the end zone, and for whatever reason, you have guys that can catch that ball 100 times out of 100, and then there's just the one that some, for whatever reason, doesn't come down. So,
and to me, it just reminded me of Brett Favre. He used to chuck the hell out of the football.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, as a receiver, it's like, well, Brett Favre is the quarterback, so I'm going to have to deal with it. You know, it's like he's the star, so I'm going to have to catch that ball.
Right.
And going back to the chaos of college football, I mean, crazy, inexplicable stuff happens, and we like to talk about it, and we like to rationalize and make sense about everything, but sometimes there is no logic. Crazy stuff happens. Dalvin Cook's going for the end zone against Ole Miss.
Dropped it.
And he just, was he point shaving? I don't know what's going on. He just dumps, distributes it out of bounds for no apparent reason. So, you know, enjoy it. Love the beauty. Love when your guy in a wheel route drops it and you still win by 1,000 points.
It happened to Clemson this week, too. Going in for a touchdown, dropped the ball for a celebration right at the half-yard line. It's ruled a touchback, or right, something like that. So anything can happen.
You better believe it. That's college football. That's exactly what Dave's trying to tell you. And hopefully we get a lot of chaos, because we had a lot of chaos. Actually, a lot of the Florida State games that we've had in the past have had a lot of chaos, some big swings in both directions. And without further ado, I say we just head straight to the game of the week.
Game of the week.
All right. All right, all right, all right. Here we are back. We got Florida State. We got game day. I'm freaking out about the whole thing. And, you know, just let me go ahead and start, and I'll just say, you know, Dalvin Cook has been the problem, right? So, I mean, Florida State is always very good, but Dalvin Cook always just finds a way to destroy us in a single quarter. One quarter. Usually Louisville plays pretty good in three of the four quarters, but it's that one quarter. And I teased that on the Florida State Ole Miss game. I said, it's halftime. I know it doesn't look good. I mean, at the time, actually, it was 28-6 Florida State. I said, but Louisville fans know there's always that one quarter.
Well, to be fair to Dalvin, he didn't start the 2014 game, so.
That's right.
No, he didn't.
He came in, though, at a really bad time. He came in the third quarter, fourth quarter. He was killing us.
Right. No, so Dalvin.
Everyone's like, who is that guy? Like, oh, the five-star freshman
Louisville,
guy.
Louisville recruited him. I think he may have even visited, or he was trying to visit, or Charlie was trying. But he was going to go to Florida State. We know that. Mm. But we're talking about 31 carries in these two games, like 273 yards. Okay, that's a lot of yards, and we're talking about four touchdowns. So Dalvin Cook has been the problem at running back for Louisville. Louisville's gotten up in the first game. It was 21-7 at halftime, 21-0 at one point in the second quarter. Last year had a small lead at halftime. But really, I feel like the 14 game's the one that really got away. You know, last year, I was there, you know, watched the game. Florida State was clearly – you know, better than Louisville was a year ago. But in 14, I kind of felt the opposite, that Louisville left a ton of plays out there. I think we had like four dropped interceptions during that game. It was just one of those games that was so frustrating because they did everything that they could to give the game away. They even had a fumble on the goal line that went for Florida State's first touchdown in 14. So it was just a lot of, like you talk about what Dave's talking about, the chaos of college football. That game had all the chaos in 14.
I remember three specific things. The Carlos Williams fumble that O'Leary pounced on
correct.
In the first quarter. That was our first score. Then there was the I think it was Holloman had the interception and
fumbled it back.
And Jameis ran down there and punched it out. And then you had the inexplicable pass through two defenders to Ermon Lane for his one and only touchdown catch of his career. Which is very disappointing to a lot of Florida State fans. And staying with the Florida State fan, aspect. A lot of fans are disappointed in Dalvin Cook, even though he had 100 yards receiving against Ole Miss, and they're saying he's not running. He looks like he's running like a businessman. He's not running like full on with the reckless abandon. You know, and that could be, you know, a couple of things. Maybe he's playing with his foot out the door, looking for the NFL draft. Maybe he's thinking about the hamstring injuries, or I don't know. Ole Miss is a tough opponent. Their D line is just dirty. So, I mean, they were just pinching down and crashing our line, and man, they did not stand up well against Ole Miss. And they had a lot of breakdowns against Charleston Southern, too. So watch out for Rick Leonard. He was inexplicably transferred over to the offensive side of the ball. He was a defensive end, and Florida State has some depth issues there. So it was kind of a peculiar move. People were scratching their head, and he's been playing right tackle. And he's been compromised a few times. They put five-star Landon Dickerson out there in this game. So look for some shakeup, because Derek Kelly's supposed to be out and Kareem R is supposed to be out. They're the two starting guards. So they're gonna be tested by Louisville's D-line and Fields and Hearns, who's looked good. So I think this game's gonna be it's very interesting to see if they are gonna be able to rely on Dalvin Cook like they have in the last two.
Well, yeah, and then also Derwin James is out. Is that what you just said? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a heartbreaker. He's pretty much the fan favorite for Florida State. He's affectionately nicknamed Murder Ball. He just destroys people. He does everything. You can line him up at defensive end, outside linebacker, middle linebacker, corner. He plays everywhere. Charles Kelly said he plays all 11 positions, and someone was like, all 11? Like, D-tackle? He said all 11 positions. So
and I heard he's kind of would be the biggest help against a player like Lamar.
Yeah, and he was a major contributing factor last year to holding Lamar to like 37 yards rushing. And he came off the blind side, caused that fumble, and he's just – you have to account for him every single time. I think what Florida State will do if Nate Andrews can come back is they'll kind of keep him up in what they call the money position, which is like a hybrid strong safety linebacker kind of role. And they have Matt Thomas, who they didn't have last year for eligibility reasons. That kid's a beast. He runs. He's like a mini Derwin at linebacker. He was a five-star recruit coming out. I think he's like the last remaining guy from the 2012 class. He's been there for a while. So I think that they'll kind of spy Lamar with him and let other players kind of fill gaps and have play assignment football.
You know, I think probably, I don't know how unsung it is, but Jimbo Fisher's ability to make adjustments at halftime, I think you saw it at Ole Miss. I know we certainly saw it in 2014, and it's the reason that every Louisville fan.
15, technically.
Yeah, yes, and 15 as well. I mean, that's the reason every Louisville fan, no lead is safe. You know, you could be up half a hundred, and you're like, yeah, but they got the second half to come back to. And I knew that. I didn't stay up and watch the second half of the Ole Miss. I just typed a few snarky tweets to you, Dave, and went to bed. But I knew that there was a real possibility. So when I got up the next morning and saw what had happened, I wasn't really surprised.
I didn't think they'd lose. I mean, no, I sent that tweet out on purpose. I'm like, I mean, they were 28-6 down, and I'm like, you just got to watch out for that one quarter.
and there are some coaches that make halftime adjustments really well. There are some coaches that don't. Mm-hmm. I think Jimbo clearly is one that does. He finds after the first 30 minutes of play, you know, what was it that was working, what's not working, where do I think I see a weakness, and he exploits the hell out of it. And if you're not able to adjust on the fly, then you're going to be in trouble. I think the key to this game, and I was telling Mark earlier today, I think the key to this game is going to be can – the Louisville defense bring enough confusing looks, things that the redshirt freshman quarterback hasn't seen yet, in order to get in his head a little bit. Because when he made that completion against Ole Miss in the first half, when he got absolutely, I thought he was killed. You know, when he got absolutely blown up, he makes that completion, and the rest of the game seems to turn around from that point forward. If you can keep that pivotal play from happening, and even against Charleston Southern, he got drilled on a touchdown pass there too. If you can give him looks that he's not used to, if you can knock the absolute snot out of him, maybe you can have a chance to have that snowball. Because at the end of the day, he's still a redshirt freshman, and this will be his first true road game.
Yeah, and it's a marquee matchup. I mean, you know, I'm sure kids that young are just like, man, I'm just so thrilled to be here. But there can be a shock and awe moment. It can happen, and this is a stadium large enough and loud enough or you can provide that. It's like, I know you think it's all fun and games, but welcome to Louisville. And that's up to the fans to provide that and that defense to add to it.
And look at the turn. I wrote a piece, my chaos theory was, I think, the first piece I did, and I proposed a scenario where Louisville beats Florida State, Florida State beats Clemson, and Clemson beats Louisville, right? And this is phase one. And look at the chaos that's unfolded. You know, you have Derwin James out all of a sudden now. You have game day coming to town. So instead of what might have been a sleepy 12 o'clock crowd, is this going to be an invigorated mass of wild people just chanting for redshirt freshman's blood, like my buddy over here. So I think that, you know, we may see some chaos unfold. I'm not going to give you my pick yet, but
we'll do that. We'll do that at the end, though, at the end of this.
I think, you know, when I look at Louisville, you know, they're vulnerable because of the turnover factor. Florida State, I think, is plus six on the year in turnovers. Louisville's minus three. That's a big, big deal. But the Louisville's offensive line's protecting a lot better, and I don't think they've really been challenged, to be honest. Florida State's going to bring – they have pass rushers and pressure that Syracuse and Charlotte just don't have. But Louisville was letting everybody through last year, and this year only one tackle for loss or two tackles for loss and one sack. That's it all year. So really, you know, for me, I'm like, okay, well, that's an improvement. So if they can not turn the ball over, and then they can somehow hem in Dalvin Cook and make Francois make the plays in against the Louisville secondary, which is going to be challenged without D. Smith. And when we have James out for Florida State, Louisville's going to be without D. Smith for a half.
For half.
And, you know, and he's their best open field tackler. So Dalvin Cook gets out into the open. You know, there's not going to be D. Smith out there. It's going to be Zeke Cannon, and Zeke's a good football player, but there's a reason why D. Smith starts. So we're going to have to figure out how this is going to unfold, because last year, like Dave was talking about, Lamar only had 32 yards rushing, 19 carries, but he did throw for 303 yards, so he did a nice job throwing the ball. He did get sacked, fumbled, and that set up a probably the score of the game that kind of really, you know, swung it into Florida State's favor, because it's kind of a ball game up to that point. But Louisville is a lot older. They don't have Jalen Ramsey on the other side. They're not going to have James. So I think that they're in a really good spot to win this game personnel-wise. But then also, what, you know, we're talking about the excitement factor is going to be huge for Louisville, and that crowd is going to really carry them early.
I got a question for Dave, because I know you watched a lot of these games. So what did Houston do to Florida State that Louisville needs to do to win? And I know you don't want to say about Florida State losing, because that's actually a team you like. But what does Louisville need to do? What did Houston do that Louisville maybe can execute on?
Houston just focused on getting pressure and just bringing havoc to the Florida State offensive line. They did a lot of pinching with their guards, their tackles on the hips of the guards. So if there was no offensive line there, the two defensive tackles would basically just run head into each other, and that forces everything to the outside. Now they have athletic linebackers and DNs that clean up, and they were just coming downhill and they were hitting Cook, so they couldn't do anything running the ball. I don't even think Cook had like 50 yards rushing in that game. And then they broke Sean McGuire's ankle, and that's why he's walking around with a screw in it right now, if you've got a chance to see the Florida State documentary on Showtime. So, I mean, they just came out with a game plan of, we're just going to be straight dogs. We're going to come at you hard. We're going to – our game plan is to not think and react, but to just go. And it worked, you know. And on offense, they hung in, and they started making some plays. They had that trick play with the wide receiver reverse when he hit the wide receiver in the end zone, and then they just kept the heat on them. So Louisville has to capture that early momentum, and then they have to sustain it. And like Heath said, that's the challenge.
Yeah, and it's just going to be interesting to see if they can live up to that. Defensively against Syracuse, I saw some things that I think against a team like Florida State will really bite you. You know, Dalvin Cook, you can, if he gets the ball 10 times and you tackle him for a 1 or 2 yard gain or 3 yard gain, that's okay. But it's when he gets free from you and runs for 60 on that one particular spot, that's how that average gets jumped up there real quick. And that little guy from Syracuse, you were up there, I don't remember his name, but the little running back that Syracuse had, it looked like they had him bottled up.
Moneal?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
And he could get through, he just went straight through, yeah.
Yeah, and he goes straight through, and it was right up through the interior line, and so that's concerning. You know, you can do a really good job 9 out of 10 times, but that one time that you mess it up, you know, then they're six, and what are you going to do?
Yeah, it is concerning because Syracuse was breaking off chunk plays right out of their base offense. They weren't doing anything sophisticated at all. They were just lining up and going. So if you want to take, you know, if you want to be negative Nancy, you can look at that and say, okay, that's something Florida State can exploit.
I think, you know, clearly the key of the game is not to let Jimbo have halftime.
So right. That's right.
I think what they need to do is, you know, right now they run off around the corner and that's their locker room. I think they need to move the locker room actually where they run into that side, but then make them run all the way down to the other side. Then the door's locked. And then you say, oh, sorry, no, you're actually on the other side. And when they get to the other side, the person said, no, that guy's wrong, but we unlocked the door, so it's back down there again. By the time they get down there, they run out of time. They got to get back on the field. And then the adjustment that Louisville makes the miracle adjustment, they just insert D. Smith into the lineup. Jimbo hasn't seen him the whole first half. D. Smith, defensive player of the game, he breaks the halftime curse.
It could be, you know, the difference. You know, for me, when Louisville has defensive guys there to make the play, they need to make the play. You saw in 2014 with Dalvin Cook, he's there to make a play. I think it was maybe Dalvin Cook's first touchdown run, he's there to make the play, and he just slips right out of his hands. You don't want to see that. And then last year, 2015, Devontae Fields is there.
The whole world hating on Devontae because it hit Vine.
Right. Well,
there's like three cutbacks.
It's like Todd Grantham can call the defense.
Yep.
He can make guys be there. But if the guys aren't going to make the plays, then coaching kind of goes out the window at that point because they literally have to make the play.
The guy that needs to step up is Josh Harvey Clemens. He was they keyed everything off of Josh Harvey Clemens. There was a play action fake on the goal line. He comes up field. Izzo goes right behind him. Easy six. Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook. Terrible angles. I saw Kermit Whitfield come up and shake him to the inside and then get outside. That is a cardinal sin as a defensive back. You always turn the runner back into the defense. If you get stepped to the inside and you turn your shoulders to him and he gets around you, you're going to get chewed out on the sideline.
Hmm. Now, is Josh playing the exact same role as he was last year? Didn't they have to move him around with some injuries and some different things?
He's not, and I think it'll probably have to change against Florida State because D. Smith being suspended in the first half. But Josh has been playing a lot of linebacker where mm-hmm. Stacey Thomas would normally be, kind of with the money linebacker situation. He's typically played star last year. And then what they've been doing is they've been playing they've either been playing D. Smith at star, Jair Alexander at star, or even sometimes Chucky Williams over there. So they've been moving a lot of guys into that position. But the Louisville defense is never really the type of defense that you can really pigeonhole guys into because D tackles will play end, ends will play D tackle, outside linebackers will play D end. Safeties will play corner. So there's a lot of like moving parts because that's what Todd Grantham does. He doesn't want guys that can only do one thing, one role. And against the faster teams, probably like Florida State, Josh Harvey Clemens is going to have to play a lot of linebacker, mm-hmm. straight linebacker, because he can cover tight ends and he can cover running backs and the different things that are going to come out of that Florida State offense.
It was interesting to hear today that Keith Kelsey said they did show that video last the Vine, mm-hmm. you know, from Dalvin Cook's run last year in the second half, and it's like, yeah, and that's been played for the players already in meetings this week, and so that's top of mind for defense. And if you have any sense of pride whatsoever, and I think these guys obviously do, they're going to have to step up and try to make a change for that. They're going to try to atone for the sins of their past mm-hmm. and make that tackle now. Wanting to do it and being able to do it are two different things. As long as the effort there, I think all the fans will be happy. And I think that the talent level, you know, has stepped up to the point where, you know, we don't take a back seat to anybody necessarily with respect to talent. Last year, that particular game, that particular play, it was all about heart and hustle. And that's the thing that's unforgivable. And I think that's going to be cured this week.
Right. And I agree, Keith. You got to have that dog in you, you know, and they didn't show it against Florida State, particularly in the third quarter. But I think a positive trend that is kind of showing that Louisville is arriving is, like what Mark said, they have these hybrid defenders now that are interchangeable with different positions. You know, if you look at Florida State, the way they're built, you have guys like Derwin James who can go everywhere. Marcus Lewis, he's a redshirt freshman. He's probably going to move to safety and take Derwin James's spot, so you can plug and play. They have Josh Sweat, who's a multifaceted defensive end. So, you know, you have a lot of different things going on, and you see the same things happening here at Louisville. And once you see your team starting to field the type of players that the powerhouses have, especially in the ACC, because you have to have those hybrid defenders to cover all these guys like the Francois and the Deshaun Watsons of the conference, you know. Right. And then when you go further in the playoffs, you're going to see that again. So this is what you want to see. You want to see this forward thinking. You know, you got Petrino with a Lamar Jackson guy who's just can do everything on the field. You don't just have this typical drop back passer. So this is good. This is change. This is evolution. This is what you want to see as a Card fan. It's what I want to see, is a transplant that doesn't particularly care for basketball but loves football. I want to see this town turn into a football town. Mm-hmm. And I want to see game day come back again next year, you know.
That's right. You know, I think you know, there's a lot of talk on, is this the biggest game? Like Andrea Adelson put out, this has got to be the biggest game in Louisville history on ESPN today. And I think it's interesting. I mean, I think game day is the most probably exciting new thing that's happened. But I think there's a lot of debate over what the biggest game is.
Well, I think, you know, obviously it's the next game, so it's the biggest, mm-hmm. right? And there's a huge national audience, and the opponent's fantastic. So the implications, if you're able to take care of business Saturday and then, you know, just check them off as you go, this is the year for this particular, I mean, for this program, with all of the seniors that you have on defense, with all of the talent that you have that came back, that made the commitment to come back to play, this is, I don't want to say it's do or die, but it's a really important year. So this game is very important from that respect. 2006 West Virginia was huge at Louisville. Yeah. You know, obviously that put us right on the cusp, and I don't even want to talk about the next week that happened. And then all the bowl games, you know, Charlie with the Sugar Bowl, and mm-hmm. you know, some of those things. And if you go back into deep into tradition with, you know, Howard Schnellenberger and all that, those are all big games. So I don't know where it falls necessarily in the grand pantheon of historical Cardinal moments, but it is the next game. It is a huge game, and it makes it to where everything that you had as a goal preseason is still on the table in front of you. And, you know, if you go out there with game day being a three-hour infomercial for your school and you lay an egg, then that's going to have negative repercussions. Mm-hmm. So it's really, there's a lot of pressure with it.
And while this game is huge, it's a long season, and there's nothing wrong with losing to Florida State at home, especially if you go on the road and you beat Clemson,
yep.
especially if you go to Houston and win on a Thursday night in front of the national audience. You want to lose your games, lose them to good teams in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and it's first, I think, game of the year against top 10 opponents. I think this is the first one. Certainly, it's from a game day perspective, it is. And it's still
for sure.
Kind of amazing, you know, that to me, that you have this Louisville football program that Louisville fans are definitely very proud of. But the question is, what does the nation think of us? You know, and they're certainly like, you know, those guys are getting it done. They're getting better. They're getting better. And to pick Louisville, Florida State on a noon game when they have a lot of other really good lineups too. Now, turns out this is the highest ranked matchup of the weekend. Just
sure.
Because Louisville made the jump. Florida State was number two. You combine those rankings for a total of 12. It's the highest ranked between all of them. But you've got so much tradition out there that they could have selected, and they went with the noon game Louisville. I think that is a huge compliment to the Louisville program, what they're trying to do in football, and that they're getting results good enough to be selected.
Yeah, and I think that they would have rather slotted this game a little bit differently and put it in prime time if they could. But they have, you know, done game day at noon before. You know, the Red River rivalry, Texas-Oklahoma, is always an 11 o'clock central start at the Texas State Fair. But they'll do it in there. So it's always interesting to see, and we'll know a little bit later on what the setup's going to be like, probably by the time people are listening to this. But it's going to be – it's really kind of a great compliment. And I'm thinking about, you know, the fact that I went to a Conference USA school, and then now this is an ACC school, and they're hosting game day. And that when I started going to games for Louisville football, they were in this – old Cardinal Stadium, which I thought was this the greatest thing ever, and now I, you know, when I was a kid, and then now I'm looking at this and I'm like, whoa, this right. program's come a long way. And it used to be a big deal just to even get mentioned on ESPN for football, mm-hmm. and now they're hosting the stage. I think that's a big testament to Tom Jurich and the program itself.
I think it's great that they slotted it for a noon kick game, because it goes into the narrative of, you know, the underdog. We've been disrespected. Yet, oh, now you want to come over here, throw your little tents up, mm-hmm. and bring your big trucks in here. Now you want to have game day.
Yeah.
You know, where were you? Know, so now you're like the hipster kid that's ahead of the curve. You're mm-hmm. on the cutting edge of everything. And I think that the players, I think the city, everyone should feed off that. You know, we're going to take our respect. And they've taken it.
Well, and how telling was it all preseason – you'd see Bobby Petrino at these press conferences, and he had that little glint in his eye and that little smirk, like, watch.
Yeah, we'll you be
know?
All right.
Yeah, we're, I think
we'll
we're
going to be all right this year.
I think we're going to be okay. You know, and you know, it's just like knowing you've got the Ferrari sitting in the garage, and you're just waiting to break it out for everyone. Well, now, you know, granted, Charlotte wasn't a marquee opponent. Syracuse was better, and you know, two nationally televised games. Now people are going to start to take notice, and if they're able to pull it out on Saturday, I mean, then you really, I think the national.
Nobody works for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. That's what happens. Productivity in Louisville drops immediately. And as far as, you know, chip on the shoulder, the line actually started with Louisville point favorite, very quickly went to Louisville as a dog, 3.5, and that is exactly where I want our guys. I want our guys to feel like that the nation wants that, thinks they're going to lose.
To play devil's advocate, you want Florida State to be the underdog because Jimbo Fisher is 2-6.
Oh, okay. Well, there's some Vegas numbers there for you.
Yeah, Vegas is underdog. I'll take that. But the mental factor, I would like to be the underdog going into a game at home.
Can we get both? Is there some way we can convince?
Is there some, like, happy medium somewhere in there?
Send one Bovada down to one and the win to the other. Maybe they got a different line on this. Okay, well, we got to get to predictions because we're going to move on. We've got other things to talk about. And we'll still talk about a little bit of Florida State. Trust me, we're kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead. Game predictions. We'll just go around the horn. We'll start with Mark.
Sure. You know, I think this is gonna be a high scoring game. I don't, you know, I really like both defenses a lot, but I like the both defenses a lot better. And I think Louisville, I think they're gonna actually, I've been saying they're gonna beat Florida State all preseason, so I'm not gonna get off that now. I think Louisville's gonna score 38 points. I think Florida State's gonna be right on their heels, 38. So I got 38-34 Louisville, and I think that Louisville's gonna have to make a play in the fourth quarter defensively to win it. So I think that it's going to be a great football game to start the day for college football. Be a good showcase for Louisville, and if they do come up short, like Dave said, it's you know, I think they're going to show well. I just don't see Louisville coming up in here laying an egg with this defense, with Lamar Jackson, with the team that Louisville has, and the way Bobby will prepare them. Florida State does freak me out in the second half,
certainly,
for sure. So I have a lot of confidence in this team, where they're going, and how they've looked and handled their business the first 2 weeks. And I also like the fact that they have 8-day breaks these first 3 weeks of the year. And where Florida State, you know, they're a little bit banged up. They got some guys out, and they only have a 7-day, and they also have to travel. Louisville, I think, just is in a better position right now than Florida State.
Okay, and so, you know, you just said the football gods are going to pay us back for William Gay at Rutgers, Kerry Rhodes against Miami on the road. The football gods are going to turn around.
It's got to come back around.
They're turning
at some
it
point.
Around.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, what you got?
I think that you know, Louisville hasn't played a defense like Florida State. None of the players on Syracuse would start for Florida State. UNC Charlotte, let's not even go there, okay? But that being said, these are the games you want. You want to see what your men are made of, you know, and there's no better test than the number two team in the country coming in here. I think that Louisville's hype. I think they fly out of the gate like everyone does against Florida State. They play a weird defense that's called pattern reading, which if they make the wrong read, you get a long touchdown. You saw that with Ole Miss. I think they roar out of the gate, but I'm going to stick to the script, and I'm going to say that the halftime adjustments come in. Dalvin Cook breaks a big clutch play. Comes down to special teams in this one, and Florida State special teams are phenomenal. I'm going to go with a lot of field goals and a lot of touchdowns. Let's say Florida State wins this one 44-41.
Okay, big one. That would, for both teams, that would be excite anybody. That would excite the recruits for both schools. That'd be making both programs proud.
I like Louisville in this game 34-27, and I don't know why. I think that I was going to say 38, and then Mark took that, and he obviously said the wrong team's going to win. So, you know, and I started, you know, a couple weeks ago with the idea that we were going to lose one game, and I don't think this is it. I think 34-27, I think we'll come out of the gate quickly. I think we'll hold on tight, and we're just hoping that the defense can shore up. I mean, we gave up 28 last week to Syracuse. Can't, and obviously the competition level steps up. I'm banking a whole lot on the idea that you're going to be able to rattle the true redshirt freshman quarterback who hasn't seen a whole lot. You know, granted, Ole Miss notwithstanding, I'm banking that you're going to be able to do that. And I'm also banking on the fact that we're going to make some of the adjustments to change up our second half look, because if you stay in the same base look that you had in quarter number three that you had in quarters one and two, that's going to get picked apart at halftime very, very quickly.
You're going to get Mark Stoops'd.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we have like two game plans that are equally effective. You know, a really effective game plan for the first two quarters. They go in and make all their halftime adjustments, and none of the damn things work.
And we do completely something different.
Do something totally different. So they come out and they're like, well, we didn't really plan for that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if we can do something like that, I mean, this is really where you earn all those dollars as the defensive coordinator. Is why, you know, Todd Grantham's still at the office and will be probably until 12 every night this week. So, what did I say? 34-27 is what I said? Yeah, 34-27. I'm going to stick with that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Cards because I'm a homer. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be close. I'm going to say 42-41.
Wow.
42-41 Louisville, and it's going to be a classic. I think Louisville finally solves the Dalvin Cook problem. This is their third year of it, and they have watched a million times every breakdown they've had. They have scolded everyone they could possibly scold. The pride that the guys have had of feeling like they've had a chance in the game and then just let Florida State just blow up all over them. I think they're going to say enough is enough. I'm tired of the practice after the Florida State loss because they're always making us run the steps because we gave up a little bit in that third quarter and they just blow up on us, and I think they're going to get it done this time. Now, will they? That's why we're going to watch the game, and we're going to have a good time doing it. But that's our predictions for the Florida State game. We're going to move on to some program updates.
Program updates.
Okay, well, we got some big news. We've got the basketball schedule has been released. There's been some ridiculousness on it. I cannot believe the most importantly, everyone's talking about the IU, then Virginia, then Kentucky. Right there in the middle of the holidays.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Rick Pitino. Hopefully you didn't want to see your kids.
That's right.
You know.
Have you pulled it up?
I'm pulling it up.
We got to pull this schedule up because, you know, we do love basketball around here. And in a release today, we got to bring it up. We know it's a special team, but if you just look at some of the marquee games, you know, that we got going on, just right before the thing starts in the conference, which is already going to be difficult, it's getting ridiculous.
And Virginia's had our number the last, well, forever. Yep. And so that's a challenge of all challenges. Kentucky is what they are. You know, Indiana, I don't know exactly what Indiana's going to bring to the table this year, but you can imagine.
Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, you can imagine.
Bring him back.
They're going to be pretty tough, and it's just it's a really bad, you know, that's not how you would draw it up, you know, that bit of the schedule. But, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and that's a fairly early section of the schedule, and I think that you know, it'll make you battle-tested down the road. I mean, I remember Denny Crum used to, you know, he'd roll out against UCLA early on and a bunch of out-of-conference opponents when the Metro Conference didn't have anybody to play, and then when you get to the end of the season, you were battle-tested, and you would do really well in the NCAA tournament. So I expect the same things, but it is a tall, tall task.
Right, you know, I like the schedule. You know, I know it is going to be hard. I mean, but it's exciting. I mean, you know, that's why if you want to have a team that's going to go deep into the and make a run in the March Madness, you want them to get tested early in the season. You know, and they'll get that with the Battle for Atlantis when they play Purdue at the Yum Center, and then we all will focus in on the Kentucky Virginia IU thing. And the only thing that I really don't like about it is that the fact that you go Kentucky, then you go to in conference. And then you go out of conference. Like my whole thinking is
once conference starts,
just let me play in my conference. It's not like football. I mean, it's a different type of mentality. And so you know you're going to play Virginia. It's possible Louisville could lose both those games, and then they're going to go play out of conference to Indiana.
That game won't mean anything. Completely different styles of play.
Right, and it won't. Yep. You know, that Indiana game could potentially be like, who cares? Let's focus in on this Notre Dame game that we have coming up. And then you do have to go play the whole league, and there's a lot of tough ats mm-hmm. on the schedule at Notre Dame, at Pitt. That I mean, it used at to be North nobody Carolina. Could win at Pitt. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to go at Virginia, at Syracuse, at Carolina, even Wake Forest. You know, you don't want to go to Winston-Salem and try to beat them there. So
not in the wintertime.
Not well ever, really. So no, but there, you know, the schedule is challenging. I'm excited about it. I think Louisville has a team that will contend. Nobody in college basketball is going undefeated. So, right. You know, it's you might as well go yeah. in here and you know, take your lumps.
That's always the big transition from football to basketball is because you hang into the balance with a single loss in football. Mm-hmm. That when they lose that first basketball, you're like, oh, I cannot believe this. This is the whole season's a wash. You're like, oh, we could lose like 10 of these. Never mind.
Yeah, you can lose like 8 or 9
we
of them.
We got the yeah. postseason. Yeah, but when you look at the battle for Atlantis, I mean, you know, the potential matchups you also have there. You got Michigan State, obviously.
Yep. St. John's, Wichita.
St. John's. You got LSU with one of the greatest college basketball coaches there is, Johnny Jones.
Yeah, the best
a decided schematic yep. advantage there, right?
Yeah. yeah.
Wichita I mean, State always can hoop it. And then, of course, Baylor, you know, they're always cheating, getting these great guys down there that don't have any discipline. So, you know, they can do some alley-oop dunks and beat you or lose by 30. It just depends on how they're playing that day. But, yeah, rolling into that, you know, for the most part, outside of the battle for Atlantis, you know, it's a manageable out of conference. It's just that turn. It's that cold, cold bucket of water you get right into the conference with that Kentucky, Virginia, Indiana, and then straight to at Notre Dame. So, I mean, it's pretty brutal. But, you know, you want your guys to grow up quick. We don't have any doubts that we're going to make the NCAA tournament. So if this is what helps them grow up fast for the tournament, fine. We won't get the one seed, not with this schedule. That's going to be a tough schedule. But you mentioned Virginia, Keith, and I do want to bring up because usually it's the short, the mid-range shot. If you have that, you can have success against Virginia. And I'm really hoping that Dangadel and VJ King are our answer to Virginia this year.
Well, I hope so. They've been such a bugaboo. And, you know, you've got Pitino, who is a master, just a complete wizard. And, can you know, you give him some time to prepare for something, and you know that he can devise a plan that'll put his guys in the right spots. Except for Virginia, we had one game where, yep. where I think it was a Mathiang that hit the free throw line jumper, and you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to count on that ever again.
yeah.
You know, and they just seem to have our number. They're well coached, and they don't. You know, there are certain teams that you match up well with. We tend to match up very well with Syracuse and Jim Boeheim. We know how to defeat that, and you give him mm-hmm. 2 or 3 days, and he just says, we're going to run the Syracuse plays, yeah. and we're going to win. But Virginia is the one that, you know, I don't want to pencil in a loss. I don't think that's ever good, but I always go into that game holding my nose a little bit just yep. because it's never any fun. It's not fun to watch. It's not fun, you know, looking forward to it, and it's certainly not fun afterwards.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I know you're not a basketball guy because you're a transplant. This is part of the deal, right?
Go Owls, Temple, baby. How do we look this year?
No idea.
Undersized.
They're not on the schedule.
Who? I see what you did. Dad joke. Yeah, Temple Owls, that's who. Temple's got a very strong
tradition.
I still get ticks over Temple from the 80s and 90s. With John Chaney in there, they would slow us down so bad. We would bring this uber athletic team down there. It would grind it to a halt, yep. and we would leave with the loss. We'd be like third in the country, and we'd leave lost by 15.
The four corners, the yep. most boring thing to watch ever.
The only thing I wish is that John Chaney would have made good on his threat to Calipari in the postgame yeah. press conference. You
we'll
know,
kill you.
Yeah, I'm going to kill you. Yeah. So
I actually met John Chaney on South Street in Philly one day, and he told me during I won my NCAA tournament bracket because he told me to pick Baylor. He said they're going to Elite Eight, and they did, and I won my money.
So there we go.
That's my man.
Well,
Philly legend.
He's a legend for Louisville fans because he tried to murder John Calipari.
That's exactly right.
You know, I'm going to kill you, he yelled. I'm going to kill you. All right, well, we've got some football recruiting to talk about.
Yeah.
As we said, we're gonna keep filtering a little Florida State throughout this whole podcast. Well, we've got a huge, gigantic, monstrous recruiting
and you should.
Yeah, visitor
I mean,
list.
It's college game day.
It's
so you're
going
to get everybody
anyone you
that
ask.
You actually want to have on your in your football program. They're getting invited.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of the guys are already committed, so it's going to go a long way to keeping their commit, like Rodney Owens, Malik Cunningham, who a lot of guys think
is going to
be like
him.
The next dude. Tadarius Peterson, Justin Marshall, who just committed, Rodney Owens, Corey Reed, who just committed, and then a whole lot of guys that really are highly regarded and are on Louisville's radar.
Mm-hmm. I heard up to 6 4 stars, I think, so far is on the board. Dave, there's another thing Dave does around here, and that's cover the game of the week for high school. So he actually sees a lot of the top talent in the state of Kentucky, in Louisville, some of these kids that are playing. Some of these kids are showing up today, so is there a few of those that you can bring up? Drink. Now, tell us, you've watched a lot of tape on Malik. So you need to tell us about your hot take on him.
Well, okay.
Malik Cunningham, a quarterback commit.
He's a better quarterback at this point than Juwan Pass was. Juwan is just a physical freak. He's another one of those ones where you see him on the field and you say, who is that kid? You know, he's just so physically dominant. But Malik, he's disciplined. The thing I like about him is he's a scrambler. He likes to run, but when he runs, he's looking downfield. Eye discipline. The eyes are the most important part of a football player, okay? You have to see your sector. You have to see what's going on. You have to react, not think. Malik's got wheels. He keeps his eyes downfield, and I think that's what Bobby Petrino sees in him, and that's why I think that Louisville's lucky to have him committed. Long way to go. Hopefully he sticks, because I'd love to have another dynamic quarterback that can, you know, jump over a cornerback in perfect position to make a tackle or throw it over his head 50 yards down the field.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this is one of those things. It's kind of like what was the lights out? What are the recruiting thing that they did a few months ago?
Oh, light up the Ville.
Light up the Ville. I didn't know what you're talking about. A lot of buzz around that. Got a bunch of commits right after, and then you got some that kind of held on, like they were thinking, I think I want to commit, but just give me a little bit more time. Got cash in on some more recruits out of that. This total game day environment where you can see their fans. Hopefully at their best.
Right.
I don't know where they're sitting them.
They backfire. You know, keep them off the party deck.
Where's the drinking? But
or put them on the party deck if the game is out.
Or another way to look at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just even a close game could cash so much dividends. So I'm excited about the visitor list.
Well, and Dave brought up a good point earlier this year. We were talking, you and Chris were going back and forth about recruiting stars. And I think Louisville fans have always been excited about the fact that Bobby can evaluate talent. He doesn't need the star ratings and things like that. And he can take and get more out of someone who's less heralded. But the interesting thing that you brought up was the national champions, and typically with the star ratings, I mean, those things are not, those aren't accidents. No. You know, you have a lot of four stars, you're going to have a good football team. And so that's what the ACC brings to it. That's what College Game Day brings to it. And if you can step up and hit that, this is big for this season. But it's even bigger probably for the program down the road.
And that's what you want. You want longevity. This is college football. This is college sports. It's a revolving door. And I think I'm kind of just guessing here, but this is a basketball town. And Rick brings in players that may not be that heralded, but they're ballers. And they come out here and they win national championships. And you're like, look at that. You know, ha-ha, we didn't have any five stars. You know, the one and done is trash. But college football is not like that. You're playing a sport that is – you need to unleash beast on people. You need some jacked up 290-pound defensive end that runs a 4.5 40 that could knock a train over. You know, that's what you want. That's what you're – that's what these assistant coaches are getting paid to do. You know, they're spending – there's a lot of frequent flyer miles racked up in this arm race. Believe that.
Yep. Well, I'm certainly excited about it. But now we're going to move to a little section called Dudes Talking.
Dudes Talking.
Okay, so one thing I want to bring up is, since Dave is new to Louisville, we've got game day. We got people coming to Louisville that are just like Dave. Hey, I'm a transplant here in Louisville. What do you think of the city? What do you think of the program? We have our rosy red glasses on all the time, as you can see how the predictions went. The three Louisville guys picked Louisville. Probably the guy that makes the most sense is probably the guy that's won all the last few football games, the Florida State guy. But tell us a little bit. You know, if I was a fan coming to town, what is stuff you liked about the city, about Louisville program? You know, since you've been here.
Oh well, I like the fact that they're so dedicated to all the different sports. You know, you can go out and catch a baseball game, which is a lot of fun. They put a great baseball team out there on the field, and unfortunately it ended the way it ended, but there's just so much passion here. It's almost like Philly light as far as the passion of the fans go, because in Philly it's all pro and everybody's just a bunch of crazy people. Talk to any other fan base in like New York or DC about Philly fans, and they'll be like, oh, I hate those guys, you know, they're crazy, they're insane. And you know, people probably say the same stuff about Louisville fans that are from up road or Kentucky. So I love the passion of the sports fans here, and it kind of makes me feel at home a little bit.
To be fair, you guys booed Santa Claus.
You did boo Santa.
We actually hit him with snowballs.
Yeah.
That's because we get a bad rap on that, because they had a Santa Claus scheduled, and it was supposed to be a big, fat, jolly guy, and then that dude didn't show up. So they got like a skinny hobo with a fifth of Jack Daniels come out there, and they're like, that's not Santa Claus.
They get Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
bad Santa shows up.
So, you know, that's the other side of the story that never gets talked about. We did hit JD Drew with 9-volt batteries, however.
Sorry, I was waving at a bug and I slammed the microphone with my hand. Sorry about the coughs and the door slams and everything and the hitting of the microphones.
I'm a mess.
Mark's been sick the last couple of weeks.
But I haven't been coughing today that much.
Not too bad, you know.
Just for like the last hour.
It's just the last hour.
Just since we hit record.
That much is relative.
once we did that. So what are some of your places that you like to eat? So, if, you know, you're a Philly guy. You like some good old food? What do we got?
Well, I'm from North Philly, so I like to be able to walk to get my food, and I live in Old Louisville, so I like to go to a little soul food joint that you get all the food for a dollar. I forget the name of it because I'm horrible.
All right.
Plugging the food joints I like. Taste of China. I like that nasty fast food Chinese food.
Yeah.
You're selling it.
The Seafood Lady is awesome. Have you guys had the Seafood Lady yet on 6th and Oak?
Nope. I've heard of it.
Check it out.
Is it great?
On Saturday. Yeah. It's outstanding. You want to kind of, it's kind of like a tailgate kind of thing because it's, you want to buy a lump sum. It's kind of pricey, but you know,
right.
Well, you're worth it. You look kind of fit, so you probably don't do this a whole lot. But what about like Ollie's Trolley down there in Old Louisville? You hit the trolley burger yet?
Dizzy Whiz.
Dizzy Whiz. Yes.
Do I need to hit the Ollie's Trolley? Honestly,
I've never hit Ollie's.
I've always seen it, and I've never. I've
oh
always,
my god!
Always
they
like,
have
I
great
want,
fries.
I want to, but I'm like never around it, and so I just.
Yeah, Ollie's Trolley has great fries.
I'll have to make like a special trip to go to Ollie's.
Cash only.
Really?
Yeah, it's cash only.
I didn't know that.
Indies is cash only. I went to Indies the other day. I was going to get a bunch of Keel. Oh, that's the best thing that I've discovered in Louisville is Keel.
I don't even know what Keel is. What's Keel?
It's just this big, huge chicken breast, fried chicken breast with no bones in it. It's just got like this one big, long piece of cartridge in it.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I've never heard of that.
Cartilage,
that
not
is.
Cartridge. There's no cartridge.
So is this like the KFC meat lumps where they said they have these beakless chickens with no legs?
Am I putting you guys on the fried chicken?
No. No. I've had Indies. But I've never had the Keel.
I want some hot chicken. I haven't even had that yet.
Yeah, well.
Got to have the hot chicken. This may get me laughed at, but I'm plenty happy with Popeyes with the Cajun Sparkle, and I like Lee's Kentucky Fried, or not Kentucky Fried Chicken, but Lee's.
I like Lee's.
Yeah.
I like Lee's, but I like KFC too. I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, I love fried chicken, so just throw it out there. Joella's is great.
I have some breaking news.
It's
a rumor, but it's going to happen.
Right.
We're getting a Bojangles soon.
We're going to get a Bojangles?
I think I've heard that.
Bojangles, baby.
Really? So all the ACC commercials that we get to watch during the year, but we can't get Bojangles, we're going to actually be able to get Bojangles now?
That's it.
It was part of the contract when you joined the league. That was a sign. It was paragraph 3 on page 4.
Mystery solved.
Yeah.
Are we getting a Belk?
No.
Let's hope not.
There's a Belk down in Bardstown.
Mystery solved. Yeah. They said, do you have a Bojangles? No. RSN Network.
Network.
They get the RSN until they get a Bojangles. Then we'll let them get on.
Yeah, that's how we get off the noon games.
Yeah. Noon games, the channel that's hard to find, the misery that is
that's
RSN.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't really have anything special to talk about during Dudes Talking except for this Florida State business. So what are we thinking as far as the game day setup? You know, I personally think that they got to be close to the stadium. They have to be close to the stadium because they want people to be there and also to be at the game.
There was a lot of talk about it being at the baseball stadium, but I guess we heard today that that's not going to be the case. They want to bring it closer to Papa John's. And you know, I don't know what's going to set up for. All I know is it's built by the Home Depot, so wherever the hell they want to put it, they ought to be able
That's
to.
Right.
You know, I mean, and if they can't, then that really doesn't speak too well for them.
Right.
So
move that bus.
That's right.
they had like a Ferris wheel and they had a mini. I don't know what you call it.
Keel.
Amusement park. They had a mini amusement park
yeah.
for the spring game, so I can't see why they couldn't just put it in that parking lot right there. No.
Right.
Well, I don't. For whatever reason. I think what's just going to happen, this is all going to get announced on Tuesday. So if you're listening to this after Tuesday, we'll know already.
We'll keep this short then. We'll keep
short. But basically, they're going to have to move it between probably that Schellenberger complex and the Traeger and the Traeger indoor facility because they're going to have to broadcast the second half, the third hour inside the stadium to accommodate just the fans because they want it to look well and be a good presentation on television. So they're going to do everything inside. So which will be cool for the warm-ups. It'll be cool for the fans who you know, get people into the stadium, yeah, hopefully for the first time ever on time. So, you know, that in that way it'll be kind of neat. But I don't know who the celebrity guest picker will be.
That's the question of the day, right?
J-Lo, right?
No, they said it's unlikely to be Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, I think they've asked her. I think it's just not working out.
Teddy B.
Teddy B.
He's on bed rest.
Well, you know, Marcus
Maven. Roll the bed up.
Marcus Maven brought up a pretty good point. He's like, well, if, you know, he's like, usually this is about building the hype and keeping everything, like, exciting and all this stuff. And everyone loves Teddy B. in Louisville. But the reality is they'll sit there like, oh, so sorry to hear that your season's over with your injury.
That's a downer. You're right.
You know, they got to keep everything high. And I totally agree with Marcus on that point. I think J-Lo would be perfect. I think we disconnected from Tom Cruise a long time. I don't think we can bring Scientology in. I'm not sure about that.
I got it.
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson hologram.
The hologram. I like the hologram idea.
There we go.
I think what we'll probably end up being will be Tom Jackson, to be honest with you, because
ties with ESPN,
he's up there in Cincinnati. Yeah. He's got tied to ESPN in Louisville.
Everyone knows
him. He played for Coach Corso, so they can kind of reminisce on that. I think that that'll probably be who they select. But who knows? I mean, really.
The funniest thing I heard today was they should go with Drew Barker because he likes to throw out picks all over the place. So, I got a kick out of that. I didn't come up with it, so I can't take credit for it, but it was a funny.
Cite your source.
That's right.
Absolutely. And, you know, not me. Unranked Florida rolling up Kentucky.
Oh, my gosh.
That was amazing.
Okay, again. So, yeah, we can talk about some other football games here. So, I'm totally surprised by that. I thought, here's the deal, and I hate to say this. I hate to say this because I'm a Louisville fan. I thought, based on the first half against Southern Miss, I'm like, Drew Barker had like 380 yards and 3 touchdowns. They can put up some points.
Yeah.
Now, the scary part was what happened in the second half, but I'm like, all right, well, here's the deal. They obviously can roll up some points. They showed that with Drew Barker. Florida did not look like world beaters against UMass. The spread was 17. That's what they beat UMass by. I'm like, well, Drew Barker, I don't know. I think they can cut that. They owe the fans 4 quarters of effort, and they gave them none.
Patrick Toews looked pretty good against UMass. He threw for 350 some yards.
Really?
Yeah. Shannon Dawson looked pretty good against Kentucky. I mean, they, you know, sacrificial lambs. I think
There is a lot of head scratching going on in the big blue nation about football. Now, not to us.
They're so poorly coached.
Yeah.
I mean, they are just. You got to lay it on the feet of Mark Stoops, and more than that, you got to lay it on the feet of the athletic director Mitch Barnhart. I mean, that was athletic director malpractice, if ever there was any.
Malpractice.
You know, I mean, you're talking a $12 million buyout for a guy who's never made it to a bowl game, and so they've made their bed. They're going to have to lay in it. And the funny thing is occasionally I'll scoot around and listen to a few different folks talk about a few different things, and the people who are talking about blue and white with affinity, they're very upset. They don't know what they're going to do, but ultimately I think they're probably going to be doomed to like a 4. I don't know that they get to 5 wins this year. And then the question is, what do you do? I think you got to get rid of him, but he doesn't – not only does he not know how to fix it, he doesn't really even know what's broken. So it's
a bad indictment there, Keith.
It's just a bad spot to be in. And as a Louisville fan, I can remember not too terribly long ago that we found ourselves in a similar spot, and Louisville fans were very upset with a guy who seemed like he was a decent fella, but he just couldn't get it done. And it's like pulling off a Band-Aid. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to hurt a lot, but you just got to rip it off. They're very poorly coached, and they're not going to get better under him.
I just want to bring this up because it's already fact. You know, when you all hear this podcast, the game is over. I don't know who's going to win the Steelers game. But early on, Eli's already got 6 catches, 59 yards, and a touchdown.
Nice.
Eli Rogers comes back from the injury. And this is not surprising to anybody.
No.
The only thing that was surprising to me.
Hit my waiver wire real quick.
Yeah. That's right. The only thing surprising to me was kind of how little he was used his senior year. And, I mean, you know, Bobby's offense was certainly opened up for that. But I think when you have your true connection, I mean, his sole partner there was Teddy Bridgewater. And when he's gone, kind of thing, all the bets are off. Kind of like this week, RG3 didn't even look at the guy that pretty much carried Cleveland offense last year, Barnage from Louisville.
Yeah, put up that goose egg. The thing is, though, when you got a new head coach and you have seniors on there, sometimes they kind of get pushed in the back. They get purged a little bit. So that may have been a reason why Eli wasn't featured as much with Bobby coming in there and being his first year. So I don't know about that. Fun fact about the Kentucky game, 3 completions all game.
Three completions.
Three passes.
That's it.
That's it.
I didn't look.
And three picks.
And three picks.
Plus they completed just as many balls to Florida as they did to themselves.
That's a glass half full perspective.
Chicken in every pot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like last week when we were talking about the Charlotte quarterback was actually giving his O-line credit for the fumble.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the positive spin on it.
I don't even understand that.
Yeah. Well, you know, so as we look into the crystal ball, you know, win or lose for this Louisville game, okay? So hopefully it's going to be everything that we want. For Louisville fans, we certainly want it to be a victory, but at the very least, we want it to be four quarters of effort. We don't want to have this bad taste in our mouth that we look good for three quarters and then what the hell happened in that one other quarter?
Correct.
We just want to see fight for four quarters.
You want to see fight for four quarters. You want to leave it all on the field. You don't want to go, you know, there's those two plays that if we had just given a maximum effort, maybe the game would have been a little bit different. You know, you talked about Holloman's interception that Jameis came back and punched out. I mean, yeah, I was at that game, and you know, you remember PK Sam?
Oh, I love PK Sam. Well, Gator killer, baby.
That's right. PK Sam sat right next to me at the game in 14, and nice. And all during the first half, he's like, "We're done." He goes, "They are as good as we are. We're out." And then the comeback came on, and you know, all that transpired. But there were a handful of plays, and if you make those handful of plays, you win that game. And right. You know. You just don't want to leave it based on effort.
No hero ball, right?
Right.
You know, Holloman made the play. He did like four switchbacks.
Right, just go down.
That he was literally like losing a yard on each switchback. It's like you got the play sealed up. Seal it up. You know, you don't need to be the hero.
I think if Louisville fans should just want to see them go out there like a bunch of wild dogs and just attack and fight and try to just match the intensity and the physicality of Florida State. That's what this team lacks. It lacks. Last year, it just lacked that killer instinct. Even with Lamar coming back he almost brought him back against Pitt, and then you see the trend happen. He does it against Kentucky. He goes out there, played four solid quarters against A&M. That's what you want to see. Let that continue. Bobby has a mentality. Don't take your foot off the gas. Let's go ahead and race him. Let's score 70 points. That's the mentality that needs to be quote unquote bought into. I hate that cliche, but it's true. Buy into that, and this is a great test of will that happen.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to end up happening on Saturday, but I don't know. I mean, I just think that
you seem really depressed.
No, I just thinking about that pick.
Huh? Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the pick. I mean, I'm thinking about the week that's going to come.
Yeah.
You know, all the things that's going to happen, and it's exciting. You know, because you think about the journey, and it's like, man. This has come a long way.
Right.
Because we've gone to a lot of these Thursday night games, took a ton of criticism for even playing on Thursday night or weeknights. You know, you have these great teams like in 2001, 2012, 2013, 2006, 2004, that they couldn't get any respect. And it's like, we know that they're good, but even as fans ourselves, we couldn't validate it. We couldn't go up and play. That's why we were so excited to play Florida State in 2002. That's why we're so excited to play, you know, I don't know, who we played, Miami in 2004 and 2006 and play K-State. And even then, you know, we play this great game, number 3 versus number 6, West Virginia, Louisville on Thursday night, and they have, like, all these yards of offense. And they're like, yeah, well, they, you know, neither team played any defense.
Right.
And then USC Texas plays a national championship game 2 months later, and they have more yards than Louisville and West Virginia combined, and they say it's the greatest game ever played.
Yeah.
So there's all these like different things. It's like all these slights that happen, and now College Game Day is here, and it's like, is that part over? You know, or can we actually just move on and play football now?
This game feels a lot like the Louisville-Miami game from 06. Mm-hmm. Just from the tickets are in high demand, you know.
Sold out.
That's exactly right.
Cover of the Courier Journal.
And this Florida State team is better than that Miami team was, but it's the aura of the programs. They're both teams that you're trying to come up to and you're trying to show that you're on their level. The differences between then and now are we really feel like we belong. We're in a better conference, you know, so it's not like it was some act of Congress to get this game. And so it's exciting from that perspective, but I also think it just means it's time, and you've got to take the next step. It's one thing to play them close. It's one thing to beat them if you play them every 2 or 3 years on a one-off or whatever, but now they're your conference foe. The only way to be the best is to beat the best. You know, we've played really well in the ACC the first 2 years with the exception of Clemson and Florida State, and you got to get them. I mean, we've talked about it. you know, since football calendar, you know, since the schedule came out, you got to win one of those two games. Now you really need to win both of those games. Clemson looks highly defeatable, and Florida State, we're just gonna hope a lot.
You got Florida State when you want Florida State, really. I mean, if you think about it, where they are early in the year,
at home,
some of the injuries
it's
that
like
they
Dave's
have.
Article:
3 games in 12 days.
Right. So yeah. it's kind of a good time to play them. So go out there and win this game. You know, this is what you want. This is why you show up. This is why you built the facilities and why you do the recruiting budgets.
More facilities coming.
And more coming. But this is why you've done everything you've done up to this point to have this opportunity and you know, just go out there and play.
All right, folks. Well, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Crunch Zone Podcast. We thank you for listening. Don't forget, we are partnered with Louisville.am. You can check them out for other podcasts as well. Don't forget to set us up for automatic download on Google Play, iTunes Radio, and Stitcher. So we've got a big week, obviously. We're excited for game day. The Cards are going to be facing off with the #2 Florida State Seminoles. We wish nothing but good times for both teams. No injuries. A lot of exciting play. Mark, anything for the fans?
Go Cards. Eat the Noles.